Never rest and never stay. Never rest and never stay. Never rest and never stay.
Yeah. Wait. Oh my God. Y'all, I am your host, Carla, and today's edition is very special because since it's spring break, most of the students of McGill have gone home. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, my home is Montreal, meaning that I am here to host the show solo. So it will either be okay or a hot mess. I don't know. We will get to see. If you can tell, I'm a little bit nervous about hosting for my first time on my own, since I am talking alone and I feel like I might go a bit stir crazy, but hopefully nothing like that is going to happen. As I mentioned earlier, I am from Montreal. I'm from a suburb here called Saint-Léonard, which mostly no one knows where it is. It's like in the north of Montreal when you're like kind of about to go to Laval, but not quite. It's very Italian and I am not Italian at all. But it's a great place to grow up. And I think my funniest anecdote about growing up in Saint-Léonard is that the ex-coach of the Montreal Canadiens used to live right in front of my house, like the street across from me. And I never knew that until last year. So thank you, Mom and Dad. I don't know if you can see, but today is a very snowy day, which probably contributes to the fact that I'm hosting alone, since if I were you, I would not want to be outside. But today is an okay day, I think, right?
That's okay.
Right. Yeah. So I was gonna start by talking a bit about my day, because I was tapped into host a bit last minute, but yesterday night, I think at 11:45, I woke up and was like, you know what, I wanna go see a movie, and it's Tuesday, so movies are half off, so why not? And like an idiot, I did not check the weather, and I just bought my ticket for $11, and I decided to go because I do not have $11 to waste. I went to this indie cinema that's near the radio called Cinemas Bach. There's probably 100 seats in that theater, and we were 15 people, and I was probably the youngest person there by at least two decades, which was interesting.
Which film did you went to see?
I went to go see the movie Women Talking, which not a lot of people have heard about. It's about women in this Amish or Mennonite community, and an incident happens where the women have the choice between staying and leaving the colony, but the colony is all they've ever known, and they don't know how to read or write. It was a really poignant movie. If you don't have that great of an attention span, I probably don't recommend it. It's very dialogue heavy. There's not much plot. But I think it was a good movie.
It's based on a real history or no?
It's based on a real story that happened in the 60s. But I think the setting and the story are the same. And after that, it just does its own thing. It's a great movie. It has Claire Foy in it, and I love her because I used to watch The Crown, which is a great show that has since fell off, but that's it.
It has a good rating on IMDb.
Yeah, it was in the talks to win a lot of Oscars. It hasn't so far. I think it's underperformed both at the box office and during award season, but I think it's a good movie. Should you pay $11 to watch it? Maybe wait for it to be out on a streaming service, but I think it was an okay movie, which I was going to talk about movies for a bit, but I realized that I have not seen that many movies in the movie theater since COVID happened at all. I'm more of a streaming person, but watching that movie personally in the big screen made me realize how much I miss going to the movies, because there's something different about being in a dark room with a bunch of people just watching and reacting in lifetime, whereas when you're in your bedroom and you're watching it on your computer screen that's really small, and the sound is probably not the best, and you can just stop at any moment to do anything else, or you can get distracted by your phone like I often do. So yeah, if you haven't been to a movie theater in a while, I would recommend you go, because it's a fun experience. And it doesn't even need to be a very indie movie like I saw, Women Talking. It could be Avatar or, a Marvel movie. I just felt being special and different and going to go see an indie movie, but it doesn't need to be that.
I haven't gone to the cinema lately. I think before COVID, I haven't gone yet. But I have seen some of the nominated movies for the Oscar of this year. And I watched this Indian movie. I don't know if you have seen
it. Is it RRR?
Yeah, RRR.
I've heard of RRR. I've yet to see it. I've heard it's very good, but I believe it got snubbed at the Oscars because India didn't submit it as a movie.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird, the whole, like, Oscar. I have stopped watching movies that have been nominated at the Oscars a while ago because, I don't know, they're very hard to find if you don't live near an independent cinema, which I'm lucky that I'm in a city that has, maybe not a lot, but, like maybe a dozen independent cinemas. But if you don't, it's very hard to go see, like, you know, women talking. I think it was in just, like, 2 theaters in the entire island for, like, 3 million people. Whereas if you want to go see Avatar, I'm pretty sure every single cinema is showing it.
Right. Yeah,
and also IMAX. It's in IMAX too. I saw Avatar, the second one. It was okay.
I have heard that it's a bit too long. It's like 3 hours straight.
It is. It is. It's very long. It could have, in my opinion, and it could have been 2 hours. I don't understand why we have 3 hour movies for, like, I don't know. It didn't need to be 3 hours. The first movie made sense because it's the first time you're watching something in 3D.
Yeah.
And it's the first time you're, like, immersed in this truly, like, digital world. Whereas the second time around, I think it's been commonplace enough. The movie did not need to be 3 hours. But yeah, so far, that is my movie talk for now. Now I'm going to play the song Angel by Freddie of Mercury. I was going to say he's from Montreal, but I'm pretty sure that's not true. I'm pretty sure the man is Australian.
You mean Freddie Mercury of...
No, not Freddie Mercury. Oh my God, what is his name? Vincent of Mercury. Oh. Is it Vincent of Mercury?
Okay.
I feel so bad for forget Joseph of Mercury. If he's listening...
Like for 5 seconds, I thought you were going to...
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, wait, no, Freddie Mercury's dead. He has not released any new music since his passing. No, Joseph of Mercury, I apologize if you are listening that I massacred your name 3 times, but this is the song Angel by Joseph of Mercury.
Nice.
Makes me never want to see another face that isn't yours. You're the kind of heart that makes me laugh and cry because I
angel.
And I'm back. That was Joseph of Mercury, who we Googled, and he's actually not Australian. He's actually from Toronto, which crazy. I don't know. He really looked Australian to me, which to me looks like he could be on the TV show Bondi Rescue, which is a Australian TV show about lifeguards, which, yes, it's an actual career. It can be a career. It's not just something that you do for the summer because you need money. Some people are career professional lifeguards. I learned that through that show, and that was actually really interesting to learn since I don't live in a place that has the ocean, so I never thought that lifeguarding could be a career. But to go back, I mentioned that I'm from St. Leonard, which means that my experience at McGill has been a bit different because I went through the Quebec education system, which means that I did my high school CJEP and then I went to university, which I think is quite unique within the confines probably of this station. There's not that many people, I think, who like have been to CJEP, which is an experience on its own, that for me was cut short due to COVID. So I had about a semester and a half of being a normal CJEP student, and then we went to online, and that really sucked because I really like CJEP. And it was a missed experience. But I'm in U2, which means I'm in my second year here, which third year if you're American or from someplace else that doesn't has like CJEP or IB or like the French program. I study political science and communication and history because I was a very indecisive person when I decided my major. But so far it's been interesting. It's been somewhat fun. A lot of reading, too much reading. I have since learned from a McGill professor that they assign us so much reading because they know we're going to do it, which interesting to learn. It's been fun being at McGill somewhat when I don't have to do the hour-long commute, especially every morning when you have an 8:35 class. That's very boring, which often really what happens very often. I listened to, in preparation for this, in the four-hour span that I learned that I was doing this show, I listened to Camille, who did a show, I believe, last week, which was February 21st, which also coincided with my birthday. And I listened to what she did, and she did a really great job at doing a show alone since she had a lot of opinions on a lot of things. And in doing this, I realized that I do have opinions on a lot of things, but a lot of the time I feel like my opinion is not worth hearing, which I should probably work on that. An opinion that I have, you know what? I'm going to stick to the movies because I went to a movie today, so I'm going to stick to the movies. Movies should not be longer than 3 hours. I think that that just should go to say, like, 3 hours is a lot of time, and I feel like if your movie is 3 hours and you still are not done telling the story, you should not be making a movie. You should be making a TV show, and you should be making a miniseries where you break up all your ideas into episodes because there is no one who is staying in a movie theater for 3 hours. That's a long time.
Or maybe put like a part two of that movie. Maybe a TV show is too much. Maybe it's like a part one and part two will be cool.
Here's the thing though. Like usually a movie has a very clear beginning, middle, end. And 3 hours is a lot of time. 3 hours is like, what, 6-ish episodes of a sitcom? It's about like, if you do like 45 minutes, it's like almost like 4 episodes of a mini series. 3 hours is a lot of time. And if you're not doing a prestige movie like, you know, an Avatar or an Avengers Endgame, which is like the culmination of a bunch of movies that have happened over the span of a few decades, your movie should not be 3 hours long. Last week, I was talking on the Friday edition of Voices of Montreal about the movie Babylon, which I went to see. And that movie, I believe, was it 3 hours? I don't remember if it was 3 hours, but that movie was entirely too long. The third act was the most interesting part, but by that point, I was tired and I wanted to go home. And it just ruined it. No movie should be over 3 hours. If you cannot tell your story in 3 hours, you should make a TV show.
Did you stay for the whole 3 hours on the theater or no?
I waited until once the movie was done, I like left. I was like not staying for the credits. I really, really did want to go home. And I don't want to say that that's the reason why the movie flopped because it did not do well financially. But it's hard to convince people to go into a theater and give them 3 hours. And like, it's very hard to be like, hey, give me 3 hours of your time and I might tell you a story that might be good or not.
Yeah, it depends. If the movie is like epic, like I don't know, like Godfather or those kind of movies, like all these like really epical movies, it's fine. But yeah, if you have like a common Hollywood movie of 3 hours, it will be awkward. I don't know.
Yeah, especially since nowadays you don't only have to compete with other movies that are playing, but also with television, because television is being very prestige right now. Yeah. And you're also competing with what people are watching on their phone and YouTube. So it's a lot to ask of people to be like, hey, 3 hours of your undivided attention, you're going to have to pay $12 or whatever a movie ticket costs these days. You give me $12, 3 hours of your time, and I may or may not tell you a satisfying story that you're going to leave and be happy at the end of, or cry. I don't know. It depends on what type of movie you see. But also, miniseries are like a thing now. Like, people watch miniseries. The White Lotus is, I think, a great example. It was a great... Where the second season was even better than the first one.
Sorry, White Lotus, you said?
Yes, The White Lotus. It's okay. About... it's a TV show. It's on HBO. It's about... a resort called the White Lotus, which is kind of like the Four Seasons. It's a luxury hotel.
Okay.
And each season you go to a new location with a new cast of characters that get into a bunch of shenanigans. And there's usually a murder, and you're trying to solve who died, why they died, who killed them. It's very entertaining. I highly recommend, if you have not watched White Lotus, to watch it.
Sounds very interesting. I wanna watch it, actually.
You see? And it's a TV show, so you could watch it at your own pace. And unlike the Netflix model, where they just release everything at once, they did like episode week by week, which I think is the better model of, if you're going to do a TV show, is to release the episode week by week instead of binging. See, that's an opinion. That's a strong opinion I have. I feel like binging has, in a way, ruined television. Because when a season of, I'm trying to think of what's the last Netflix show I watched. I believe it was The Crown was the last one that I watched live. You are in a rush to finish the TV show because you know that if you go on social media, people who have already watched the last episode are going to spoil it for you. And that is no fun, because you don't get to just enjoy the TV show. You just have to binge it quickly. Whereas if, say, you're watching a TV show and it's being released week to week, you get to do this really fun thing where you get to talk to your friends about it. You get to participate in discussions. People get to give their theories on what's going to happen next. And there's actually like anticipation for what's going to happen. The best example I can think of is last year, Euphoria. When the second season was releasing, every single Monday, I would go to class, because the episode would drop like Sunday night. I would go to class on Monday and a bunch of people would be talking about what happened on the episode the previous night. And it was really fun, even though, in my opinion, the second season was a bit worse than the first one. It was still good television, but it wasn't as good as the first season. Even then, it was so much fun to have like conversations and people being like, oh, well, I think that this is going to happen to Rue, and I think that this is what's going to happen between Cassie and Maddie. It was a lot of fun to just, you know, get to talk to people about it. And it's something that you get to converse around. Whereas if you just drop like a, I don't know, like seasons are shorter now, so they're not like 22 episodes anymore. They're like 10. If you drop like a 10 episode season of like 45-minute-ish episodes, after a month, people stop talking about it. I found that to be true with, I think, Stranger Things. I have yet to see Stranger Things. I've heard it's really good. I just don't think it would be my type of show. I don't know. I'm not really into like paranormal.
I really like the first season of Stranger Things. Like really, I like it a lot. But after the second, I kind of went out a little bit. I didn't like it was so into it. I mean, I felt like the plot was kind of misunderstanding a little bit. They went like far beyond things that I would have thought. So, but I think the first season is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what usually happens in TV show. The first season is really great because the writers have all the time in the world to work on it. You have all the time in the world to work on it, to write it, to like craft this one season arc the way that you want it to. And if you get picked up from a second season, you usually have like a timeline that you have to work on. So your producer might come up to you and be like, hey, we want a season 2 for like next year, year and a half, and you're working against the clock to create like 10 episodes where, unlike the first season, you don't have all the time in the world and you actually have people who are expecting it to like be just as good, if not better, than the first season. So it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And sometimes shows fail horribly because of that. One of my favorite TV shows of all time is Friday Night Lights. The first season is, in my opinion, amazing. It's like one of the best first seasons I've ever seen of a TV show. And the second season is absolutely horrible. And fans of Friday Night Lights do not talk about the second season because everything just went horribly wrong. Characters were acting out of character. There were plot points that made no sense. There's a character that went to jail for no reason. Yeah, everything just went up in flames. So, yeah, well, maybe that's why I think miniseries are maybe the way to go, because you get to tell a self-contained story in a like predetermined amount of time, and you don't really need to think about getting renewed for a second season unless it's an anthology like The White Lotus, where every season you do something different, or every episode you do something different, kind of like The Twilight Zone, which I think is a great TV show, even though it's like really, really old and it's kind of hard to find episodes of it. If you can't tell by now, I was not allowed to watch children's television growing up. So a lot of the stuff I had to watch were very old. One thing that my parents did to me is I was not allowed to watch Disney movies growing up. And to this day, when I ask my dad why, he cannot give me a reason. He just says, I don't like Disney, so you did not watch it. So I do not have the like big attachment to Disney that most people have. I don't really care about the movies unless I'm taking like my nieces to go see something.
That's funny.
Yeah, I went to Disney World and I was like, I think I was 11, and I was very unfazed by the whole experience. I was like, oh, it's Princess Aurora. Oh, it's Mickey Mouse. They were just like strangers to me, and I didn't connect with them in any way. Which means I probably should like re-go to Disney like now that I'm an adult. Maybe I'm gonna enjoy it more. And maybe this could be a hot take. Disney World, I don't think going to Disney World is worth the money.
Did you watch any Lion King or Toy Story?
No.
No.
I watched Toy Story because that was Pixar. So I was allowed to watch Toy Story. I was not allowed to watch Lion King. Okay. And I did not see Lion King. I don't think I've ever seen Lion King in its entirety. I think I've seen like bits and pieces of it. The only exception to the Disney rule for me were, for some reason, I was allowed to watch Sleeping Beauty. And I was allowed to read Disney stories. So if it was a book that contained Disney stories, I could like, that was fine. But if it was a movie, it was a no, unless it was Sleeping Beauty for some reason. I don't know. Again, I asked my parents. My dad has no answer. It was a strictly my dad thing. My mom really didn't care. But my dad, I don't know, my dad's a teacher. He was really into French cinema. He's a French teacher. So I grew up watching a lot of French cinema.
Okay.
Which French cinema can be very traumatizing for small children. The one movie I remember watching when I was younger was a movie called Boudin, which in French, in English, translates to donkey skin. Yes. That movie traumatized me for life. The plot made no sense. It was, if the best way I could describe it, it's like, what? It's a Disney movie for adults, but the way it's done, it looks like a kid's movie.
I'm trying to remember a French animation movie I thought like time ago. It was this kid on living on the jungle. Do you remember that one?
No.
I'm trying to find it.
I did not watch that much animation growing up either. Maybe that's what happens when you're an only child. You're like forced to grow up a lot quicker and you have to watch movies with your parents. So you know what? I think it's sad. I think my parents just didn't want to watch Disney movies with me. So they were like, nope, you're going to watch adult movies as a kid because we are not compromising what we are watching because of you.
I remember the name of the animated movie. It was Kitty Koo and the Sorcerer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember.
Kitty Koo.
I believe they had like a TV show at some point.
I think so. Yeah. They got pretty famous.
Yes. So I believe here in Quebec, we had this like, I think it still exists. We had this channel called Vrac TV. It was like a teen channel, but in the morning they would like put on like cartoons for children on your way to school. And I believe they would play a lot of Kirikou in the morning. Huh. So
that's nice. Sounds like a really, really safe.
Yeah, and it was like during like the peak of television where people were still watching television before it like fell off in like the late 2010s. It was a great, great, great time. Now I'm going to pass to another song because I've been talking for like 10 minutes. This is a song by Vérité, who is from Brooklyn, New York. I actually Googled this. She's from Brooklyn, New York. This is A Lucid Dream.
Light. I prefer you in the background of an empty sky. A body in the basement of a former life. An anecdote I'll share to give some insight. Now I can't escape the heat of July or its humidity. And I don't miss the taste of you cause it's escaped my memory. I know you started off sweet before you got bitter. And I could tell it as a lie or could say what it is now. Maybe you're a lucid dream I tried to keep locked up in my mind. Be just another casualty I tried to leave buried in the yard. The grass under my feet blend into the scenery till you're growing flowers on my lawn. Maybe you're a lucid dream, now losing sleep, trying to get back to my heart. Momentary lapse that killed my common sense. Some attention that I got to build my confidence. I'm a sacrifice you made to your God complex. Now I can't escape the heat of July or its humidity. And I don't miss the taste of you cause it's escaped my memory. And I know you started off sweet before you got bitter. And I could tell it as a lie, could say what it is now. Maybe you're a lucid dream I tried to keep locked up in my mind. Be just another casualty I tried to leave buried in the yard. Grass under my feet blend into the scenery till you're growing flowers on my lawn. Maybe you're a lucid dream, no losing sleep, trying to get back to earth. It is light and it's humidity. Taste of you cause it's escaped my memory. When the sun burns in the sky it starts to smolder.
And that was A Lucid Dream by Vérité. Next to me, I have a list of Disney movies. And in scrolling them, I realized that I've seen maybe max four of them. And four is being pretty generous. Most of the ones I've seen have been recent, and it's been because my friend is a big fan of Disney movies. Shout out to Darlene. If you're listening to this, you're probably not. You're at work. But thank you for introducing me to maybe three Disney movies. Which, when you think about that, makes no sense that I went to Disney World when I was 11 because I knew nothing. which, to my next opinion, I think that Disney World, Disneyland is kind of overrated. I've went when I was 11. There's nothing to do. You're just in line all day. There's screaming children everywhere. You're just walking a lot. You're in the hot sun of Florida, which Florida is really humid. In case you've never been, just imagine the Montreal humidity, but like five times worse. And yeah, you're just like walking all day and waiting in line to do rides that you could do here in La Ronde. And the only thing that distinguishes it is that you could buy like Mickey ears that are way too expensive. And you could eat food that's like decent, but way overpriced. Yeah, Disney. It's not my favorite thing in the world.
I haven't gone yet, so I don't
know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I wrecked the fantasy of Disney World for anyone.
No, that's totally fine.
But I'm talking about Disney World. Maybe Disneyland, the one in LA, is better. I don't know. I think it should be. I feel like you would have a lot more fun in LA than in Orlando, Florida.
But the Florida one is the original, right?
Yes, the Florida one is the original one, which was designed by Walt Disney, who...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking as if Walt Disney's already... He is a real person. Yes, Walt Disney... isn't Walt Disney's head in Florida? Wasn't that like a thing where he's like froze his head?
Yeah.
So that like one day they could like implant it into another person? Disney's weird. I find Disney weird. But then again, I don't have the emotional attachment to it that most people have. Oh my God. yeah. Oh my God. No, I've never seen Mary Poppins.
Pocahontas? Have you seen that one?
No. That one, I was not allowed to watch it. My parents gave me a reason. It's because it's racist.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Which, good reason.
Yes, actually, yeah.
Good reason. I have seen Beauty and the Beast, but not the Disney one, the 1930 version. Yes, there is a 1930 version that I believe was directed by either Jean Renoir or Jean Cocteau. It's completely different from the Disney version because one, it's live action. Two, it was made in 1930, so the hair and makeup is... It's bad by today's standards, but back in 1930, I imagine it was like really impressive. And it's a lot creepier than the 1991 version. It's also French, which again, probably the reason why I was allowed to watch it because my dad was obsessed with French cinema. I actually would recommend people watch it. I think it's a good watch. The 1930 version of Beauty and the Beast, if ever you're into watching really old movies, I highly recommend you watch it because it's really good.
I tend to confuse the movies from Pixar and Disney. Are the same or no?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I think Pixar has a partnership with Disney, but they're their own thing.
Okay.
Pixar, that I was allowed to watch because, I don't know, they're not Disney. And
yeah.
My dad has a weird beef with Disney. He's never going to explain it. I think he just wanted to rob my childhood, but that's just me. Yeah, no, that's it. So today's Tuesday. We're day two of spring break, the McGill spring break, which coincides with a lot of other universities that are on spring break. The weather is not that good for spring break, so it still feels like you're in winter. And honestly, if you're in Montreal, I commiserate with you that you're spending your spring break here because I would be locked up in my room all day and not wanting to go out. It's not the weather for going out. And usually I don't have anything planned on spring break, but I only had something planned for Wednesday personally. I was talking to my dad and I said something to the effect of, I think I've done like 75% of the Montreal Metro. And my dad's like, oh, well, why don't you take a day off and you just do the entirety of the Metro? And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. Since I have nothing to do during spring break, and most of my friends are working or they're on trips, tomorrow I'm doing the entirety of the STM.
Like the three lines, all of them?
The four lines.
Four lines, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Blue, orange, green.
And yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah.
I apologize to the people on the yellow line. The yellow line gets forgotten a lot. I think rightfully so. I mean, there's really nothing really to the yellow line if you don't live in the south side. But yeah, no, one of the cool things I think about the Montreal Metro that a lot of people do not know is that in Quebec, we have this thing called the 1% principle, which says that if ever you're going to build something that's going to be of public use using public funds, 1% of the budget needs to be dedicated to an art installation. So every single metro station you go in Montreal, there should be an art installation there. And one of the cool things I like to do when I'm in a new station is trying to find it. Sometimes it's like very obvious what the art installation is. The metro that I took to get here, which was Crémazie, they just have this like giant round thing called The Poet Speaks, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's very obvious that that's the art installation. Métro Namur, with the things that light up that kind of look like beehives, that's the art installation. But for a metro station like Peel, which it's a lot more subtle, it's just like the square with the colored subway lines, which in my mind should not count as public art because anyone can do it. And I feel like if anyone could have come up with the idea, it should not be public art.
Personally, I like the art from the Metro Fabre.
Fabre? Have I ever been? I've passed by Metro Fabre. I've never like stopped at the station.
I think it's just like a lot of years getting in together.
Okay.
I have like a all kind of thoughts when I'm in Fabre, like good thoughts actually.
Yeah.
It's a great station.
I feel like it's the Blue Line stations. They get a lot of flack because a lot of people just take the Blue Line to get to Université de Montréal, but overall, I think that they're well done. I don't think that like the worst station in Montreal is on the Blue Line. Personally, if you ask me, I think that the worst station is Atwater.
Why?
Oh my God, so many reasons why. First off, it's at the intersection of Dawson College, Dawson CJEP. There's a mall there.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in New York. There's a lot of rats. There's a lot of, I don't know, it's just like bad vibes. There's always, the cops are always there. It's not a good time. It's dirty all the time. It smells like pee. It's not that great of a station. And while we're at it, I'm going to add Peel, which is a station that I go off at most days. Not that great of a station. It also smells absolutely horrible. There are tunnels that make no sense. And unlike the McGill Metro, it's not connected to the underground city, which I find very annoying because if I want to go from Peel to the underground city, I have to like either walk all the way to McGill Metro, which is like 5 minutes, but like 5 minutes in the winter is a hassle.
Yeah.
Or I have to actually like go down, waste a ticket. I know I have an unlimited pass, but still like, you're wasting a ticket. Waste a ticket, get to like McGill Metro and then like do the rest of the underground.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah.
It's very annoying. And that being said, the Montreal Metro needs more stations. I live on the north side, which a lot of people don't go to like north of, I want to say like north of the Green Line. A lot of people like never explore, which if you're one of those people, I highly recommend you do because there is so much to do in the north and in the east of Montreal that you just like miss out on if you like stay in like the McGill bubble all the time. St. Leonard, while it's a suburb, there is stuff to do. But one of the things that's very annoying is that it's very inaccessible by public transportation. My commute from school to my home is about an hour, which makes no sense because I know that that commute could be done in 30 minutes if I just had better access to public transportation. My closest metro, whether it be the Orange Line or the Green Line, is like 30 minutes away and I have to take a bus to get there. And they're not like buses that pass all the time. So yeah, I feel like the north of Montreal needs a lot more public transportation. Also the west, oh my God, the west is awful. A lot of my friends live in the West Island and for them, coming to and from school is an absolute hassle. You have to take your car, but the problem is once you take your car and you're downtown, there's absolutely nowhere to park it because downtown is not really conducive to a lot of parking. I feel like there is an extension right now of the subway line, of the Blue Line, I believe, which they have been talking about that for no joke, at least since 2006, which I believe is when they built the station in Laval.
12 years ago or more.
More.
Yeah.
My dad always tells me a funny story that ever since he arrived in Montreal in 2004, they have been talking about extending the Blue Line, and they've only just got to it now. Now there's going to be a metro station somewhat near my house. They had to like repossess a McDonald's to make it happen. And it's going to go all the way to, I believe, Galerie d'Anjou, which is like a mall. It's, I was going to say it's like the Eaton Center, but it's like, it's really not. It's like, I believe it's bigger than the Eaton Center. It's a really big mall. A lot of people in the east side of Montreal go to it all the time. It's like the hangout spot is Galerie d'Anjou.
So it's gonna cover more towards the east.
Yeah, towards the east.
On the Boulevard, okay.
Because the east is the wild, wild west of Montreal.
Right.
There's not a lot of public transportation except for buses, and buses are not the most reliable thing ever.
It says here that they're extending for 6 kilometers. It's just that.
Yeah, I mean, just 6 kilometers. It took 20 years for them to negotiate that. And it's probably going to take another like 20 years for them to do the east. But I mean, that's just like the state of doing public policy in Montreal. Things go by very, very, very slow. It's like kind of a problem that I have with like, you know, bureaucracy. But yeah. So now I'm going to play another song. This is Heaven's Only Wishful by More More, who is from Toronto.
Good to know.
I'm just a poor boy. Yeah.
And we're back. One thing that we were looking up during the like short musical break was the Kutinesh Library, which I think is a very cool place. Another thing I think about McGill is that people don't like visit other libraries, which I think is a shame because there are so many better libraries in Montreal that are not Redpath, McLennan. McLennan is an, I apologize to anyone who works at the McLennan Library, but McLennan Library is objectively an awful place. The architecture is very reminiscent of post-World War II Soviet communist German architecture. There is, the study spaces are very, very old, which makes no sense with considering the amount of money that McGill gets for endowment. I feel like it's a library that should have been renovated a long time ago, especially considering that for many people, it's their main library. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, I don't feel like trekking up the hill to go to the Faculty of Law library there. And also, I feel like people at the Faculty of Law need their library because studying law is very exhausting. I have two friends who are in law school, and I don't think I have seen them in a year and a half ever since they started law school because it consumes all of their time, which makes sense when you think of the fact that in law school, they only have like one exam at the end of the semester and that's your grade. So I would too would be spending all my time at the library if I had the circumstances. I've yet to be to the med school library, but I imagine it's better than McLennan. So yeah, if you live in a neighborhood that has a local library, maybe check it out. There are like okay spaces. There tends to be a lot of activities at them. At my local library, they have a book club that they do. I have yet to go, but I have heard from my neighbor that it's a very fun time. But then again, like the movie, I feel like if I were to go, I would be the youngest person there by like at least a decade. And I do not hate old people. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not being ageist, but I feel like there's going to be a generational disconnect between what I like to read and what they like to read. But also they organize a lot of activities at like your local city hall. Mine has Golden Age Zumba, which I've actually done by accident because I wanted to like enroll to like the normal age Zumba.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. If ever you could join like a Zumba group, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of cardio.
Okay.
I feel like people make fun of Zumba because they think it's just dancing. No, it's a workout. It's cardio. You're like dancing and moving for like an hour.
Do you sweat a lot?
You sweat a lot. Yeah. Just imagine dancing nonstop with maybe like a 10 second break for water. That's what Zumba is. Golden Age Zumba, it's a lot more like relaxed. And again, I enrolled in it accidentally and then I like switched over to like normal Zumba.
But it's like dancing in a special way or like jumping every time? Or
it's doing very like repetitive dance moves.
Okay.
But the goal of it is to get like your cardio up. So there's no like set choreography. So there's just like a person in front of you, which like Zumba instructor has to be like, in my like top 10 dream job, there's like a person in front of you just doing moves and then you follow them.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the Zumba class. I took one Zumba class online, which was taught by the instructor, like the person who invented Zumba.
Okay.
Never again. the man has a six pack. The man has a lot of enthusiasm. And after, it was, I think, an hour class. And after 15 minutes, I could not do it anymore. I believe that the workout is available on YouTube. If ever you're interested in Zumba, do it. But it says it in the name. It's a workout. It's a sport. It's really hard to actually become a Zumba instructor. You have to like pay money and you have to do like a certain amount of hours. It's in my opinion, it's like a really great discipline that people needlessly attack. If you've never done Zumba, do it. And I have to say, one of my favorite things about going to Zumba classes is because this happens very often. You will often get a girl who has a boyfriend who makes fun of Zumba, who goes to try out one class, and after 15 minutes, they cannot take it anymore. They are on the floor, absolutely panting and sweating and swearing to never come back again. I feel bad saying this, but it's like one of my joys in life is to experience people who talk badly about Zumba, quit after 10 minutes, and then just like sit there and
it's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. I feel like the Zumba instructor love it too, because they're like, aha, you make fun of me because I don't weight lift, but you have zero cardio. And after 5 minutes, you are going to pass out because you can't do this. So yeah, Zumba, it's a great discipline. I feel like it's kind of underrated. It's less expensive than Pilates. It's less expensive than cycling. Yeah. But you get, in my opinion, just as good as a workout. As someone who has done Pilates,
Do they stretch at the beginning of the session?
They do like stretches, but it's like dancing stretches. Okay. So they'll be like, roll your head, but it's like to the beat of the music. There's like a 15-minute stretch, and then you have like 45 minutes of dancing, and then at the end you have like a 5-minute like cool down.
Okay.
It's so much fun. If you've never tried Zumba, sign up to like, I'm not a Zumba vendor, FYI. The way I'm talking about it, I kind of make it seem like a cult. It's not a cult. But Zumba, I think it's just a lot of fun, and people make fun of it needlessly. It's a great workout. It's a fun workout. You get to listen to music. One time my instructor did a Pitbull workout where she played just music from Pitbull.
Wow.
And that was so much fun. I think also Pitbull is very underrated under artists. And I think a hot take that I have is I think that Pitbull should do a Super Bowl. I feel like he would be very good at it. A Pitbull Usher Super Bowl, I feel like, would break the internet. These two people have so many hits between the two, both of them. I don't know
Pitbull,
how.
Pitbull, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone loves Pitbull. I remember when he was coming on tour to Montreal, all my friends were dressing up like Pitbull. They were buying bald caps, and they were just like showing up to the concerts, and they had like such a good time. Mm. And it made me feel bad that I missed out on seeing Pitbull, because when's the next time that Pitbull is ever going to like come to Montreal? I don't know.
It's been a while, I think, now. When was the last time?
I believe it was either 2021 or 2022.
Okay.
And it became a trend on TikTok to just show up to a Pitbull concert dressed up like Pitbull. And with that being said, I believe it's 58.
Yes.
Wow. I only have the time to play maybe like one last song. This has been really fun. The hour has passed by really quickly, and I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I have. My name is Carla, and to close us out, here's the song Damn Girl by the band Frills.
Yeah. the hips. Want me to lick around and took the drizzle all on my lips. You wanna make my head spin like the Exorcist, but I'ma get that nigga something he'll never forget. Like, I'ma let some sparkle find a whip enemy. When he started acting crazy, he went on to this enemy. He's celebrating, talking who's inside of fiction. The booty bitch, I'ma tickle by this nigga trying to handle my rhythm. And I'm like, I just wanna let you know. All I really want is your soul.